Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Let's head out to the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line to welcome one of our favorite guys, the Hall of Famer, Braves legend. And he'll be in the booth for the ALCS on Fox and FS1. He's the great John Smoltz.
Hello.
Who joins us on The Fan. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We are great. Thanks for carving out some time. We know you're busy. And forgive us for not wanting to dive deep into the ALCS, but you understand why. So, John, last year the Braves are on the doorstep, up 3-1 against the Dodgers. And I made the case to the audience that, I mean, again, the Dodgers are better, the Braves are the underdog, but I actually feel better, certainly, about their chances this year because of what's at the top, the way Max is pitching, the way Morton's going, and we saw Ian, and I've heard your line on this before. Two hot pitchers, couple of hot bullpen arms, and a couple of guys in the lineup. Could the Braves fill that formula this time around?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can remember last year doing it in a unique way. Obviously, the pandemic World Series, and the Braves had put the Dodgers to the brink, and the Dodgers kind of put themselves in that situation, I thought, strategy-wise. And this year it's going to be flipped in the sense that the Braves have three, maybe four, guys they can go to. Last year's 2.5, maybe, starters, and they were up, as you mentioned, 3-1. But the timing of the three starters couldn't be any better, meaning they're healthy and on a roll. And the confidence factor goes a long ways. When your team knows you got a guy that can at least give you 5, maybe 6, 7 innings, and you could shorten your bullpen against a really good Dodger team, and the Dodgers had to exhaust all those options to get there, you got to feel really good about having a chance to take down the Dodgers the second time, when the first time was more or less kind of, I wouldn't call it severe underdog, but it was pretty close to that. And, you know, we all know how it worked out after they were up 3-1.
I saw one of your coworkers the other day talking, Pedro Martinez, about Charlie Morton, and he was asked before the game, he said, how do you think the short rest is going to affect him? And he's like, I don't think it will, because you just change your schedule if you know you're going to do it, and you eliminate the bullpen in between or whatever. What's your opinion on throwing the 3 in the 3rd and then how that sets him up going into the NLCS? Is he back on schedule and perfectly fine?
Yes. You know, the big thing about anytime you do something different, people are going to want to ask, you know, and check the numbers. Well, the problem with that is you don't do it enough to have a fair gauge of what that really means. It's not that big a deal, but the reason it becomes a big deal is everyone talks to you about it. Like, how are you going to feel? What are you going to do? And everyone takes it, you know, a step where the statistics are irrelevant, because you don't give, if you train to pitch every 3-4 days, you'd be fine. But it's creatures of habit, and when you get to this point of the season, you have to be able and willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I thought that anyone who pitches on 3 days rest, unless they're a rookie, should not be that big of a deal. Doesn't mean that you're going to execute every one of your pitches, but you just have to be mentally sharper, because physically you're going to be a little bit less, and that's no big deal. I know my numbers on 3 days rest probably weren't as good as my numbers on 4 days rest, but boy, oh boy, it's an opportunity of a lifetime to get in there. And, you know, I don't think we'll see anybody pitch game 1, 4, and 7 anymore, but that was a lot of fun for me to be able to do that and know that, you know, you get it done, you go to the World Series.
John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer with Chuck and Chernoff, Fox's lead analyst. He'll have ALCS with the Astros and the Red Sox. He's with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. So let's just switch that over and talk about the Dodgers now, who haven't announced plans yet for game 1. It was supposed to be Scherzer. He closed it out last night through 13 pitches, whatever, you know, ramp up time there. John, I'm trying to do the math on this. Like, I guess they could go Scherzer for a shorter outing. They could bring back Walker Buehler on 3 days rest. Tony Gonsolin hasn't pitched since September 30th. Like, diagnose that one for me. What's the best solution for game 1 for them?
Well, the Dodgers, they crunch a lot of numbers, as you well know. I thought they took a lot of risks yesterday. It worked out for them, but you got a guy who wins 20 games, starts every game he pitches this year, and he comes in relief and pitches the middle inning. So anything's possible with the Dodgers. I would go Gonsolin, and then restack your guys. The bottom line is for the Dodgers, if they don't hit better, they're going to be It's not going to be a defending championship for them. Their offense is what makes them amongst their great arms, but their offense has been silenced, and they need to get hot if they're going to, you know, take down the Atlanta Braves. And I'd say the same thing for the Atlanta Braves, the timely hitting, the homers, and some guys go absent this time of the year. But for the Dodgers, you know, if game one of a best of seven is not as huge as game one of a best of five. So I would personally throw my guy that's most rested, reset my staff, and then have my horses, you know, ready to go when they're best able to pitch two games in a series. And game two and game three still allow you to have your starters if you do if you go long enough to make two starts in a series. So it'll be interesting to see what the Dodgers do, because I did not see that coming yesterday with starting Knebel and then Gratterall and then going to Urias.
You think Kenley cared at all about, I'm pitching the eighth inning, not the ninth, and not some other guy, but some guy new to our organization, he's pitching the ninth? Do you think he cared at all about that? I have no idea how a closer would react.
No, I don't think so. Not in the situation it was in a tie game on the road and the lineup distribution that was coming up. So, the thing with Kenley is a total different pitcher now. I mean, he's been taken out of the role several times in the last 2 years, and he is a total different pitcher. He is a beast again. The one thing about Kenley, though, if he gets runners on, everyone should be able to steal. So the pressure of those situations mount up for him in the ninth inning, let's say in a save game, and Albies or anybody who can run is on base, they're going to be at second. I mean, he just can't hold them.
John, let me ask you about the schedule now. For the Dodgers, they've played six postseason games, already two elimination games, the walk-off against the Cardinals in the wild card, ninth inning, the win last night. Chuck and I have talked about whether the travel matters. Braves have had some rest. Like, how much of an advantage is that for the Braves? Little less travel, not having to play as much in the way of intense games. Does that mean something at this point?
I think it's huge for the Braves if you can get home field versus going out to the West Coast. And look, the Dodgers are doing everything they have to do to give themselves a chance to be defending champs. They've won every elimination game, and they've done it with, you know, some flair, late tension. That helps. That's a good formula. You feel like you're going to win those games you're in, but there is some, I would say after game one, it sets in a little bit. The travel, the hysteria of playing those games. You're on adrenaline when you're rushing East Coast, knowing you're still playing, and then you get ready for game one. I think the lag happens, you know, game two, when you get that, okay, we're ready, here we go, full night's sleep. So maybe for the Dodgers, you know, there's a little hiccup early that the Braves can take care of. But the fact that they have home field advantage really is kind of huge. Even though you're probably not favored in the series, I'd rather have home field advantage than not.
Have you watched Greinke much this year? I want to ask you one ALCS question, because sometimes he looks like Greinke, and then, I mean, it happens to everybody. Sometimes it's a bunch of breaking balls that flatten out, and then he gets hammered. Do you think he's got a hammer game in him, like himself, like 7-8 innings where he looks like old school Greinke?
You know, Greinke's an interesting, beyond obvious human being that is a great athlete that has pitched long into his career. And he doesn't have to finish on his pitches he once did, but he still can. If he locates, he's going to carve you up. And I think what, you know, first of all, Dusty Baker doesn't get enough credit. What an incredible job he's done. I'd say this about the Astros. If you wanted to pile on them 2 years ago, pile on. They deserved it, whatever somebody feels. Not anymore. I mean, they've proven that whatever happened in the past, they've got a legitimate team. They've come 5 years in a row now. And Dusty's handled everything that comes that way, whether it's his pitching staff going deep in the game unusually, like most teams don't do. He last year took a 3-0 deficit and got to game seven against the Rays. This year, of course, he's going up against the Red Sox. So the Greinke thing is interesting in how they'll use him and watch him against a great offensive team in the Boston Red Sox.
Smoltzy, let's finish up with one more on the Braves. And you talked about game one not being as important in the seven-game series as certainly the five. But can I make a case for the Braves, though? Fried has pitched as well as anybody in baseball in the second half. The Dodgers have some questions about what they're going to do. And I'm kind of with you that maybe Gonsolin's the best option. Like, if you were to drop game one, if you're the Braves, that would feel a little bit uncomfortable knowing how good Fried's been. You're at home. You have the rest. Like, game one for the Braves feels pretty big.
Oh, it's huge. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, in theory, you can recover from a Brave a loss in game one than you can in a game best of five. But the psychological point of what you're talking about is absolutely there. You want your hottest pitcher to stay hot, no hiccups, no shock the system. You go out, you impose your way, and you start showing what the – see, to me, the Atlanta Braves take the first half, and they're not even the first half team. The second half, they're a brand-new team. They've got confidence. They're winning close games. Their bullpen's got, like I said, a couple hot guys. And I think now that their rotation can stack up against anybody's, it really does come down to the execution offensively of just scoring enough runs, right? If you score three, you feel like it's the vintage Braves. Three and you win. Two and it's a battle. And I think that's what they've proven. And I think the psychological teeter-totter that happens in the postseason is so apparent to young teams, but not as apparent to an older team. And I think the Braves have finally gotten a little bit older. And if nothing else, they can learn from what last year was like. That feeling, that pit in the stomach, the horrible base running, the couple games that they didn't help themselves win. They had another one in the Brewers series, but you saw how they bounced back and were able to win. So those things matter if you put yourself in situations to make them matter, right? They always say experience is only as good as you put yourself in situations to use experience. Otherwise, if a team's better than you, your experience doesn't matter.
I love watching the guy pitch. I love listening to him talk baseball. Smoltz, you have a great call on Fox and FS1, the Astros and the Red Sox. Love to have you aboard anytime. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
There's John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.